Hello, I'm Dr. John White, Chief Medical Expert at Discovery Channel. As a physician, I'm constantly searching for innovations in medicine and new ways to help patients. And I found it. We're flying high above Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a city built on steel, but famous now as a center of healing and medical research. You can see nearly 20 different UPMC hospitals and over 400 UPMC outpatient and research facilities in and around the city. It's here where we'll find some of the innovations that are changing lives. Heart surgery in children, muscle-restoring regenerative medicine for our wounded warriors, smart hospital rooms making patients stay safer, high-tech sports medicine, even life-saving operations for babies still inside their mother's wombs. When we touch down, we'll meet the men and women who are making these medical breakthroughs and the patients whose lives are being extended, enhanced, and saved. Some even before they're born. Welcome to Life-Changing Medicine. I'd like to introduce you to a woman from New Jersey who has experienced the unimaginable, the loss of all four of her limbs at the age of 26. Through a team effort by some of the most skilled surgeons in the world and Sheila Advento's own unstoppable spirit, her life has been given a new beginning.
In 2003, around the 4th of July weekend, I got very sick. I thought it was the flu. Although at that time, it was odd to get the flu around summer, you know, so, but that's the only thing I thought it was. And then my mother found me in the bathroom floor and rushed me to the hospital. That's all I remember, being rushed to the hospital, grasping for air, and then I was out. I was in a coma for 8 days.
Sheila had contracted meningitis. Meningitis is a bacterial infection with symptoms similar to more common viral illnesses, but can prevent blood from circulating to limbs, causing the tissue to die. And it can kill otherwise healthy people in just one day.
Eventually, the ninth day, I woke up and I just looked at my limbs and they were lifeless. My hands were black. But I already knew at that point that they had to go because there's no way to revive hands that are dead.
Sheila had no choice but to have both her hands and her legs amputated. After months of physical therapy, she returned home.
Being dependent on people was a really big problem for me because I wasn't used to that. So I had to depend, and then I was going through moments of frustrations, which eventually I realized is part of my disability.
For Sheila, hand transplantation was always in the back of her mind. After 7 years of living with no limbs, she contacted UPMC's hand transplant program, and they communicated back to her.
So for transplant surgery, there's pros and cons. And if you needed a heart, if your heart failed, and you could receive a donated heart, well, it's obvious, the positive to that. The negative, though, is that you have to take immunosuppressant drugs. And those drugs have side effects. They decrease your immune system and therefore leave you susceptible to some, could be, life-threatening infections. Now, if the alternative is that you're going to die because your heart's going to fail, most of us would take that risk. The interesting thing for hand transplantation is that it's a non-life-saving transplant. So the ethical question is, should we put people on lifelong immunosuppression that could have life-threatening side effects for a non-life-saving transplant?
Non-life-saving transplants are now more accepted because of a new treatment called the Pittsburgh Protocol. I met with Dr. Vijay Garantla, who specializes in immunosuppressant therapy, to explain the advances the Pittsburgh Protocol has made for cases like Sheila's.
The Pittsburgh Protocol is a protocol that combines cellular therapy with conventional immunosuppression as used in organ transplants. It brings together bone marrow cells from the donor infused into the recipient around the time of the surgery and combines that with one conventional immunosuppressive drug. The advantage of using the cellular therapy is that it allows us to modulate the immune system and allows reduction of two or three drugs to one drug.
Well, I kind of froze when I got the phone call that there was a donor available. And so I said, well, so do you want me to go now? We took a flight, and then the prep went on. That's all I remember.
For a bilateral hand transplant, that's a very long and complicated operation. Therefore, we'll need at least 8 to 12 attending hand surgeons, plastic surgeons, microsurgeons to do the procedure. One team works on the donated hand, and they have to identify all the structures, all of the individual tendons, the nerves, and the bones. And the other team works on the recipient's arm to identify all of the same structures, so that when she thinks of moving her small finger, in fact, those tendons have been reconnected and the hand works.
Two new hands. I had two new hands when I came out of surgery. It was an amazing feeling. I already accepted them as mine. And then I took my hands home with me. I had no choice. I do put on my own makeup, I do my own hair, I get dressed on my own, I take a bath on my own, take a shower on my own. I eat, I do a little bit of cleaning here and there, take out the garbage as much as I can unless someone wants to help. But I text a lot. That's my number one thing probably. The driving, I've been doing that for a little while. I have to drive myself to and from therapy or other appointments that I have, so it gives me a lot of practice also with my hands since I use hand controls.
Good morning.
Hi.
So after a patient undergoes a hand transplant, they then go into full-time hand therapy, 6 to 8 hours a day for up to a year.
Open the hand, close.
If you do a hand transplant and then do not go into hand therapy, it'll be like a prosthesis. It may have some feeling and it will be human tissue, but it won't move and it'll be like a prosthesis.
I could fall asleep when doing that.
Yeah.
From what I can see in Sheila, her life has changed dramatically. She's able to paint, she's able to return to work. She is an amazing spokesperson and an advocate for reconstructive transplantation and has been a counselor to other candidates. So I think it's made a remarkable change in her life.
My doctors are very pleased with the progress I'm doing so far. And so am I. I'm actually very surprised at my own progress. It's a real blessing to me.
Sheila, thanks for coming into the studio today. What an amazing story you've shared with us.
My pleasure. It's a great honor. I would love to have the opportunity to keep sharing my story. So I believe it'll inspire not only people with limb loss, but normal people in their daily lives. It doesn't have to be so difficult after all.
What's been the most surprising aspect about having new hands?
Getting sensations back that I forgot about from not having hands for 7 years. So for instance, the pain, hot and cold temperature.
Would it be okay if I examined your hands in the studio today?
Of course.
Thank you. What an amazing achievement.
Thank you.
They look great. Sheila, with any procedure, there are risks and benefits.
Right.
How did you weigh the various risks versus the benefits, and have the benefits exceeded the risks?
Absolutely. Prior to the surgery, they had explained to me, the whole team, the transplant team, had explained to me what the risks are. One of them really is the fact that, you know, it may not work or it may work, and so it would be still up to me to continue it. There's absolutely no commitment to it. But I figured, why not just try it? And from my experience since the surgery, definitely the benefits outweigh the risks more.
Sheila, your story is so inspiring and offers hope to all those people who have lost a limb.
Thank you. It's my honor. It's such a pleasure to be here to be able to share my story.
It's sad to say, but the number of amputees in this country is growing. And our military action in Iraq and Afghanistan have definitely contributed to that. Next, I want you to meet a young warrior who is facing the same prospect as Sheila Advento, on a lesser scale, but still devastating. Amputation of his left leg after it was nearly blown off in Iraq. Marine Corporal Isaias Hernandez was referred to UPMC's McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine where he received innovative care with amazing results.
When I went to Iraq, I was 19 years old. I was in there on October 12th, did a convoy going from home base Camp Fallujah to Al-Asad. We never made it to Al-Asad. The base was hit with a direct artillery round. And I started calling out to other Marines, trying to find out where he was, what his situation was. And I would try to move to see if I could help him out or whatever. That's when I looked down, I saw I was covered in blood and I couldn't really move. I went to sleep in Iraq, I woke up in Germany. Even with the big hole that I had in the thigh, I could still move it and feel sensation through it.
From that blast, he developed what we call volumetric muscle loss, which means he lost a large portion of his muscle in his right thigh. But the injury was so large that if he was gonna be amputated, he was gonna have to be amputated really high up his leg, close to his pelvis, possibly.
The whole point of physical therapy is helping get better, but I wasn't getting any better because I had pretty much hit a level that I wasn't going beyond. And they told me that the only solution was amputation.
At this point, Isaias had been more than 2 years out from his injury, had been through 20-some surgical procedures, was getting extraordinarily frustrated because his quality of life was not what he wanted it to be.
One of the big things for me is mountain biking, and I couldn't do that really. I was limited on it. I couldn't ride for more than maybe a mile. And before the leg would start to tremble and twitch, or it would just plain give out sometimes. They said that there were some other procedures I could try. So I told them, okay, we'll try whatever else we can before having it amputated.
At UPMC's McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine here in Pittsburgh, researchers are developing new ways to replace and restore badly damaged muscle tissue as part of a larger quest for treatment of arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, and other conditions. One innovation in regenerative medicine, called extracellular matrix, or ECM, seemed like a good fit for Isaias.
Regenerative medicine does seem like science fiction, and if you think about some of the things we do today, it's like science fiction. We're now fixing problems that we didn't think were fixable before. If you lose a limb, you know, it's not possible, at least everybody doesn't think it is, to regrow that limb. Maybe it is. The preparation of these extracellular matrix involves taking a tissue like muscle or a liver and then removing all of the cells out of that tissue. Well, what's left is the material that the cells made to hold themselves together, and it consists of structural molecules like collagens and, more importantly, information molecules.
This material has no cells in it. It simply represents the extracellular matrix. For Isaias, we took three or four sheets together and then vacuum pressed them together so that it had an appearance much more like this. But you can see it's much thicker. This can be placed into a patient where a surgeon could put sutures through it. It's going to hold those sutures very tight while the body then invades it, breaks it down, remodels it into a functional muscle tissue. So we could get quite creative. I guess that's where the engineering of this tissue engineering approach comes into play.
Right, you know, Isaias was missing a massive amount of his quadriceps muscle.
This was actually down to the bone. It was like a chicken leg. If you take a bite out of it under the bone, that's what this looked like.
Once implanted, the ECM works as a natural bioscaffold.
ECM is actually this little roundish area you can see here, little bubble there.
The patient's own cells are able to infiltrate and remodel it, growing new blood vessels and muscle tissue.
He's grown a functional new contractile skeletal muscle at that site. It's given him enough improvement that it's changed his quality of life. The response that we got at the site of placement was surprising.
Being a commodity clears your mind, get a nice breath of fresh air, gives you a chance to get away from the city. At the same time, it's relaxing, get a rush out of it also. It's always fun though, keeps you awake.
We were hoping for good things, but the results even exceeded our expectations or our hopes. And he is now actually considering a second procedure where we would increase his muscle mass even more.
And now that we know it works, the ECM is going to go in this whole area pretty much.
Medicine progresses, so it's exciting.
I love the adrenaline rush, and it's all natural too, no caffeine or nothing.
Dr. Badalak, Isaias, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, John.
Isaias, you look like you're still out on the bike trail.
Anytime you're on a mountain bike, it's always fun.
I'm wondering how the new muscle in your leg feels compared to the leg that wasn't injured.
It feels like it's catching up, and it, since the ECM went in, it feels like it's caught up a lot more than it was before.
It must be a huge psychological boost as well.
Yes. You work your body up to be in shape. You know, you feel more confident because you can do more stuff. Same thing, but it wasn't surgically.
One thing that comes to mind when thinking about this procedure, might some athletes start trying to get their hands on this type of regenerative medicine? We've all seen how a few will do just about anything and take just about anything to achieve fast muscle growth. Are we looking at a new generation of muscle building and sports performance enhancing medicine?
Never say never, and there's always someone trying to take advantage of a solution, but the beauty of this approach is that it utilizes your innate or endogenous ability to make tissue. So there's nothing in this approach that would allow you to become superhuman or to make a stronger muscle than you would otherwise make. You know, you can, the potential here is to, however, fix problems that might not be fixed otherwise. And we've always wished we could regrow functional brain tissue after a stroke, and we've always wanted to reform functional heart tissue after a heart attack, or to be able to address this problem of donor organ shortages for people that are waiting for a liver or waiting for a heart or a kidney or a lung transplant.
Dr. Badalak, thank you for sharing this medical innovation with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Isaias, thank you for your service to this country.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on, and welcome.